you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
So, you know, there's always something interesting at coasttocoastam.com. One of those things I want to point out, too, along with that Dogman video, is this really interesting article about the increase of nightmares around this time of year. And maybe that plays into our greater conversation about witches. That a lot of ways, the stories of witches and the pursuit of witches was really born out of puritanical nightmares, kind of a carryover from the witch trials of Europe into Salem, Massachusetts. Paul DeBoley is an assistant professor of political science and has a BA in history from Suffolk University, a JD from the New England School of Law. He taught at LaSalle University and many other places. Thank you for joining us here on Coast to Coast again. I think it's twice in 1 year, Paul?
Twice in 1 year for you and I. I more recently did back at the end of August. I was lucky enough to be able to sit in on Sirhan's parole hearing.
Oh, that's right.
George had me on, and we had a really fun discussion that night about the tragic events in June of 1968. But this is the second time for you and I, so...
Yeah, we were talking about Abraham Lincoln last spring, I think, right?
Nobody tires of that topic, believe me.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And yet, the same kind of intricacies, and I think this conversation about having you back on started back then, because I was like, okay, well, we'll have you back in the fall. So I'm so glad that you made it onto the schedule. And in time too. So I said something which is kind of a generalization. There are two kinds of witches, dead ones and live ones, you know, in Salem, Massachusetts. That's not entirely true. Some self-professed witches survived the hysteria around witches. And we'll talk more about that, but let's set the table for that conversation, because I think it's important to point out that long before Salem, Massachusetts, there had been a religious fervor that had started earlier than 1692, going back into Europe for several decades, where people were convinced that they could just tell a witch just by looking at somebody, that some people felt like they had the divine ability to ascertain who was a witch. And that's, in some respects, about as credible as that type of testimony got. But what do you see as being the building blocks for what ended up being the horrible events between 1692 and 1693?
You know, I mean, the history of fear of witches or people that practice, quote-unquote, the black arts, you know, probably has its roots in the ancient world and then works
sure.
its way forward. And as we saw, you know, the fervor of religion, you know, kind of running through Europe, a lot of times it appears as though accusations of witchcraft were a way to, I'm trying to put this mildly, get rid of or...
No, I think you're...
Isolate, you know...
Marginalize or murder.
Women that had very, yeah. you know, strong views, whether it's about religion, whether it's about politics, whether it's about, you know, burgeoning sciences, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I think there was just too... There was just too much of a habit of when they encountered something they couldn't explain, you know, it was witches, it was the gods, you know, striking us angrily. So it seems like a natural, you know, kind of progression. But when we talk about what was happening here, you know, I've read a couple of studies, for example, that theorize that certain spores and molds. Working its way into the grain supply would also
right.
produce hallucinogenic effects. So,
right.
if we're kind of going from this general position of this old, this superstitious belief, you know, in witchcraft, and you know, kind of try to look at it with a scientific eye, so to speak, in so much as you can. I mean, there could be reasons for valid medical reasons for people acting out. I mean, it could be the grain equivalent of magic mushrooms.
Yeah, but when we say acting out, this is interesting because it could have been that the people who lived out in the woods or lived outside of the main streets of the town of Salem were the ones who were least affected by that communal grain or that sort of that mold that might have created an hallucinogenic effect, which is interesting because, as you point out, that... The attack was on the marginalized, and this might be just people who held non-majoritarian beliefs, which is the whole reason why the United States was originally formed. It was formed by dissidents who were leaving one religious group or another or wanting to establish religious freedom, and then in themselves, because the margin between life and death was so thin when you're living out and trying to carve a life in the middle of the wilderness or, you know, when you don't really have any safety net underneath you, that threat that loomed from the outsider, that seems to me to be the cause of many of the fears around witches and might have had something to do, too, with the perception about Native Americans. How comfortable are you talking about both the original accuser in the Salem witch trials being a Native American and a fear that this foothold they had on the New World was a tenuous grip on an otherwise bedeviled land?
You know, we all like to form theories and
right?
and your theory is based on, you know, current sociological thought. So I'm not going to poo-poo that. excuse me. I think the Salem witch trials had its roots. It's kind of funny too, because when we talk about, you know, the Pilgrims coming here, the Puritans, instead of the quest for religious freedom, as soon as they got here, they became religious oppressors.
Right.
So the very thing they sought to create,
which is so human nature, isn't it? That we become what we mock. We become what we stand against too often.
You know, it's funny because, you know, like I say, I live here in Massachusetts. I'm in Essex County. I'm literally 10 miles from the site of the Salem witch trials, which actually occurred in Danvers, not Salem proper. So that kind of overwhelms, you know, our society, at least in October. But we all seek to try to explain the unexplainable, and when you start to delve into some of the records, when you look at the transcript, the trial transcripts that are available, when you look at some of the literature of the time, I mean, and again, I teach political science, so one of the things that I enjoy doing is looking at a political system, applying stress to the system, and then see how the system reacts.
Right, right. That's really an interesting way of looking at it.
It is, and you can do that, and you know, and at the point of making a shameless plug, my book, Conspiracy 101, is due out next August.
And, oh, yeah, you.
And we pretty much do that in terms of whether we're talking about the Salem witch trials, whether we're talking about the Lincoln assassination, whether we're talking about
right. You
know, JFK, RFK. Even Watergate, you look at stresses applied to the system and see how they respond. And, you know, I'm sitting here in 2021 looking back on what the and trying to make some sense out of what these people were thinking in 1692 and 1693. And I'm just amazed at the blind, you know, faith and the blind justification for this, you know, basically this travesty where, you know, a number of people were arrested,
right.
tortured.
200, right?
Yeah.
Over the course of that period of time.
Yeah, it might even be more than that, the records reveal.
Oh, so interesting.
And again, I you look back on it, you try and make some sense of it. And yes, there was this ability when this propensity when you were accused of a crime to try to implicate others in it as a way to deflect.
Right.
You know, attention from yourself. But we're kind of blessed here, too, because in Massachusetts we have a county-based system for tracking land transactions. And when you start looking at some of the land transactions that were occurring at the time of the, in the summer of 1692, there was this fervor building, and people were concerned that they may be accused and actually transferred property out of their name or disposed
right.
of the property just prior to the first trials beginning.
Because they were what, considered too prosperous?
I think there's a propensity to kind of, I'll be blunt, screw your neighbor.
It's kind of a tall poppy thing, a cut down anybody who's shining up out past the group.
Yeah, and again, prosperity, you know, it was looked upon as, you know, as God's will, but people were, there's natural jealousy and envy.
Right.
A coveting involved
right.
you know, in that. And, you know, sometimes, in, you know, and some of the evidence indicates that there were boundary disputes between neighbors and, you know, people living in close proximity or at least relatively close proximity may try to create an advantage for themselves. And
right.
they have this, you know, this crime, this activity out there. They'll say, well, he, you know, the reason why he's doing it is because they're witches. And
right.
it's kind of funny because, you know, I actually have right in front of me right now chapter 40 of the colonial legislature, and it's entitled An Act Against Conjugation, Witchcraft, and Dealing with Evil and Wicked Spirits.
Yeah.
So as a government, as a political science professor, I'm looking at this, and, you know, they're actually institutionalizing within the halls of government.
Right.
You know, this problem or issue, and I can't help but chuckle over, you know, the naivete of people in being so willing to accept, you know, otherworldly, you know, reasoning for this, that the colonial legislature, and again, we're talking 1692, we're talking long before the Declaration, we're talking
right.
long before the Articles of Confederation, we're talking long before state constitutions, the Massachusetts
right.
state constitution wasn't until 1780, and there were none of these protections that were built in.
Well, you know,
the accusations became even more powerful because the legal system at that time was based on guilt until proven innocent, rather
right.
than innocent until proven guilty, which we know today.
But, you know, but Paula, this is where, like at the beginning, what I mentioned about the Native American piece, I mean, I think this is sort of a convergence of all of these factors. But the reason why I brought that up is just as you are saying there was what a term that sociologists would use today is monomania, that there was such a fervent adhesion to one idea that it would often turn against people who would otherwise be allies. That if you can't reach the people who are the perceived enemies. If they're outside of your power base, you end up going after the people who are closest to you. And monomania, we can see get lived out. There was an interesting article this week about even at university campuses where, you know, suddenly what had once been like an open place where lots of ideas are discussed, now some ideas are considered too dangerous to be discussed. And this is, in some people's estimation, an example of monomania. And I think that this was in play too, and that's why I brought up the Native American piece, because as you say, the community was growing. But where was it growing? It was growing into the woods. It was growing into the wilderness. And who lived into the wilderness but the other? And the other, that perceived other, is what I think is at least a piece in this. It's a flavor to a concern that only we amongst ourselves, us Christians who wear the right clothes and put buckles on our shoes and we, you know, all the people that live in this tight group, we're the only ones we can trust. Everybody else be devils.
I think there's a lot of that at play here. I think you're absolutely right in your analysis. And we all tend to, fear what we don't know. I mean, go back to the original War of the Worlds broadcast when they're
right.
talking about, you know, aliens, et cetera. And by the way, you know, with regard to unidentified aerial phenomena, I'm 100% behind that.
I'm with you too. I mean,
only human arrogance would lead us to believe that we're the only ones out there.
So far, yeah, I agree completely.
So, and again, we're seeing traces of microbes. NASA's finding in different locations,
right.
meteorites, et cetera. You know, again, I'm not so willing to write that off. I can look at witchcraft and kind of do a, you know, kind of a chuckle to myself, and maybe that's just me being, you know, narrow-minded. But I wonder if people really believe this, or if they were just kowtowing to the religious orthodoxy of the time.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.